A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. My name is Marcus Speller.
My name is Pete Donaldson.
My name is Jim Campbell.
And my name is, can we get back into the studio together now, please, soon? Thank you.
Well, where's Luke Moore this morning?
We won't miss him.
Ah, he fooled us, ladies and gentlemen. A cunning trick disguised as Jim Campbell. It's often helped him in the past when he's entered a nightclub.
Yeah. And Marcus, now I can say what I want.
He can now say what he wants, everybody. How are we doing, chaps? Good news. Premier League's going to return on the 17th of June this year, 2020.
Oi, oi. With a Sheffield United match.
Marcus, you need to address one of us individually because we're not in the same room. Otherwise, it sounds really underwhelming. Shall I jump in with my trademark enthusiasm?
Yes.
Please.
I'll just say it's subject to government approval. Who's next?
They will do anything to distract right now, Lukey. Yeah. You'll have them out tomorrow.
Wow. Yeah. Would you say that, are you scared of Manchester City, Jim, because Arsenal are going there? Or, I mean, is the Etihad Stadium not the Barnard Castle that it once was?
Yeah, I think actually the lack of fans will probably suit Arsenal in away games because it'll feel like a home game.
That really is a colossal loss of revenue.
Yeah, it really is. No, I have no idea what to expect from this because I don't know how well they've been training. I don't know what sort of shape the teams are going to be in. They've got a 3 week sort of pre-season from now, haven't they, to get ready. But it's been a long time, but from what I remember, I think Man City were a bit better than Arsenal. Mm-hmm. I saw the reverse.
Check your memory bank.
saw the reverse fixture at the Emirates, and they just like a cat toying with a mouse before murdering it. So hopefully it'll be a bit different this time around. It was Arteta's first game, wasn't it? So obviously he's had a chance to learn a lot. But I'm just delighted that it's going to be back. I'll tell you what is going to be weird. It's very strange watching the Bundesliga. With no fans, and obviously they've got some iconic stadiums, but obviously, you know, every stadium in the Premier League is really recognisable to all of us because it's what we watch week in, week out. So seeing Old Trafford with no fans in it, and the Emirates and Stamford Bridge and you know, all of these different places is going to be an extra level of weird, but I'm ready for it.
Enjoying the fact that the Japanese have started a weird like app system where they'll basically put loads of speakers up in the people would be sitting in the football, in the bleachers, on the seats. And you can have an app where you can press a button for different chants. so everyone can choose to do a particular chant at a particular time. It's really spooky. Wow, so I'd like more of that,
really,
please.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, the noise that's been pumped into some of the German games, I think it's actually worked really well. I had a bit of trepidation about it at the start, but I think it's definitely better than making it sound like our friend Kate Mason said, which is like it sounds like a regional swimming gala otherwise, which doesn't really befit what you're watching. But Marcus, one thing I did want to mention, which I think is really going to be a really interesting dimension to this football when it returns, which we of course assume it will. I mean, I was joking about the government approval thing, but that has still got to happen. There's a certain amount of criteria that's got to be satisfied, but we expect that to happen. But one interesting dimension, as regular listeners to OTC on a Thursday will know, is that in Germany, home advantage is now essentially dead. It's like there's nothing really in it anymore. There's only been a handful of home wins. I think in the last round of fixtures, there were two. And so it will be very, very interesting to see how that manifests itself in the Premier League, and if it's replicated across obviously Spain and Italy as well, because that'll make a real difference to what we expect to see, won't it?
Mm. I liked what the Danish side, is it Aarhus? I forgive pronunciation.
Yes. Yeah,
what they did with all the fans joining in, like they zoomed in, if you like, and they had a big wall of them for the opening game of the season. I mean, you do open yourself up to a lot of nonsense there, and I'm all for
willicoptering.
Exactly.
everyone could be willicoptering at the same time. Tom on the emails did point out that I should be pretty happy because Newcastle are technically 6 points off a European place due to City's ban. Can you imagine Steve Bruce lifting the famous Europa League trophy in sunny Seville next May? Pochettino could never. Thank you for that, Tom. A little early email there.
Nice.
Designed to excite and upset in equal measure.
Yeah. Peak Donaldson.
Yes, after Manchester City and Arsenal and, of course, Aston Villa and Sheffield United, after these two grudge matches, we then have more Premier League. And when those two are out of the way, each team would have played 29 grueling Premier League games. And after that, each side will have 8 games to try and prove who will be king of the Premier League. Are you all right?
Has Mark has been replaced by Vince McMahon?
Has someone got to you?
No.
Have you taken a hyperbole pill?
Marcus, blink hostage situation in Morse code if you need to.
Can I just say how excited I am about the Saudi Arabian
still
takeover?
He's in the pocket of BN. He's in the pocket of BN, guys.
I will be guesting on the biggest football show in the world, hosted by Keys and Gray.
Pete, Bein hate the prospect. Listen, all you've got to do is just check out Richard Keys and Andy Gray's output to know that Bein are very much against any kind of takeover.
Yeah, because they're at Qatar. They're for Qatar. And Qatar
exactly, Saudis, exactly right. Absolutely.
There's some sort of beef going on there. I think I can say that.
Well, they've never seen anything untoward themselves, have they? So let's just, let's take their word for that.
But you guys, one thing that's also a really exciting development for many of our listeners and for us as well will be the fact that there's going to be games for the first time in Premier League history, I believe, on free-to-air BBC platforms, which is fascinating.
Oh, did the Beeb not get the first year? Oh, yeah, of course, they wouldn't have, would they?
Maybe it's the first year, maybe. But I think it's definitely the first time since the early 90s. Mm.
Yeah, that is very, very exciting. And also, like, the volume of it is going to be brilliant, given how much we've sort of been starved of it as well, because they've got to do a lot in a short period. It's going to be like that Mitchell and Webb sketch. The football, it never ends, and then it starts again. It's actually going to be, even though that was critical, it's going to be great.
Yeah, well, it'll all be crammed into a 6-week period, of course. And there is apparently a plan B, which I've not seen yet, but there were some options they were discussing either yesterday or today, where if there's a second wave of infection, what they might do. But Peter, something that you'll be very, very heartened by is that Newcastle United were the first team to post photos of them taking part in full contact training. So if they're not ready for this...
Steve Bruce eating a big bacon sarnie.
It was just John Joe Shelby swinging for someone.
Why has Bella's turned up with a golf club?
Yeah. Well, they're at home to Sheffield United, only days after Sheffield United go away to Aston Villa, of course. And we've got an Everton derby in just a few weeks' time, which seems quite incredible, really. But they did say that there's chat that some of the bigger games may be hosted in neutral venues to make sure fans don't turn up. It's sort of all the location.
I wonder which one with the massive clock. Actually, most of them have got quite a lot of clocks. Oh no, I'm confused.
Quickly to East London, you know.
Yeah.
There should be tunnels built between every kind of London football stadium so that you just run or get one of those kind of underground post office trains to the next venue and finish the match there. Oh, lovely.
I don't know about that, Pete. I feel like that may be a useful tool for hooliganism.
Yeah. What do you mean?
It's like, oh, yeah, we just head down the tunnel for a ruck.
For a ruck. Well, the going back to what you're talking about, the crowd volume and whether they'll pump in the crowd noise and all that kind of stuff. Players and managers will be told to mind their language when the league resumes. Of course, a number of little enhancements have been touted to make the coverage a little bit more varied. Cameras in dressing rooms, we mentioned that before. Halftime interviews, they're the kind of more standard ones. Then there were suggestions that mic could be put in technical areas, but there's obviously some opposition to that idea because it would potentially end careers. And one idea for players is to film a pre-match clip of themselves in the team hotel or on the coach as a part of a build-up to the game.
Oh, it's like at the match with Andy Brassel. It is.
Yeah.
But with more hippie crack, presumably.
Yeah.
Everyone doing balloons in their hotel room.
Yeah. This might be one of those things that stays, though. Like, we might see the birth of, in the same way that we quite often, you can tell that, like, a player is thinking about media training and maybe looking at becoming a pundit, maybe they'll now start being YouTubers. Like, if you get someone who's genuinely, like, amazing at making these little videos, they might go on to be, like, you know, a jackmate.
Do you think like someone like Jesse Lingard, who's been linked away with Moves, you know, this is where he would excel. And the
he
club
would shine,
may say,
absolutely.
Yeah, at the end of the season, the club just say to him, look, Jesse, it's not really working out on the pitch, but you have been fantastic. We're going to change your role and salary so that you are now like the in-house kind of production guy.
Yeah.
And you're no longer a footballer.
Demeaning. Yeah. Isn't it demeaning to a professional athlete, that?
Well, it would be. I wouldn't want to see it happen, of course. Still remember that goal against Panama, don't I?
So rude, Luke, because you've been having a go at that block for such a long time.
Yeah, I don't think he's that awful. Good a football player. That's why. But I do understand that there's we've discussed the reasons that might be the case for it. But it's an interesting situation with how it's going to come back in what form. And we clearly sort of anticipated a while back that certain authorities, not just in this country but around Europe as well, will certainly use this situation to have some kind of land grab of some description. Now, whether it'll be from the lower leagues, I mean, we talked about in Spain this week the idea that they're trying to push through Monday night games, something that there's been a lot of opposition to, but they're saying they're using the fig leaf of that, you know, we have to get these games done and Monday night is a good time to do it. And then obviously, in Germany, they were successfully able to fight off Monday night games. Anyway, it's clearly a situation where the broadcasters will use it as a chance to get a land grab as well, because they're the, let's face it, they're the one of the driving forces behind this, because the football clubs and the football authorities want to keep the money offered to them by broadcasters, so they have to deliver this product, and the broadcasters will use, I expect, whatever advantage they can to get these types of things that you're talking about, Marcus. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing per se, because I think for the amount of money that fans are asked to pay, they should get as much insight as possible. But however that, I mean, we shouldn't compromise the sport, though, should we? That's the problem.
Yeah. UEFA have been trying to do weekend Champions League matches for quite a long time now, even possibly, you know, doing matches over the pond and stuff. But like, so that might come into it as well. The Premier League starts doing matches every day that God sends. And then so suddenly the Saturday and Sundays aren't quite as sacred as they used to be. And we become a bit more flexible in that side of things. But you're right. I mean, this will be, like everybody else seems to be doing, it will be used for evil in somebody's opinion.
I think it's an interesting time for the TV companies as well, isn't it? Because they're going to have to innovate. And as you say, Luke, they're going to try a land grab. Because I think what looms large is the spectre of the Premier League just creating their own streaming platform. You know, I mean, we've seen games on Amazon. It worked really well. You know, I think everybody's thinking that that is probably the future, isn't it? And it's been frosty between them, hasn't it, so to speak. There's been a few a few examples of confusion over whether they would, these companies would pay for the fixtures if they couldn't be completed, and you'd argue that that's fair enough. There's a, it's been a very complicated thing, and you would think that they would be worried that this pushes that streaming platform closer to reality. So they're going to be wanting to do everything they can at the moment to make themselves relevant, really, and adapt.
Well, obviously, the Premier League has got a deals in place with a million different broadcasters around the world. But I mean, I think what everyone's been talking about for the past couple of years is the Premier League, you know, taking away the Barclays branding or whoever they had, and putting just their own branding on it, like the NFL does. We are the Premier League, and we will have a streaming service that you can watch all of the matches you want, all of the football you want, whenever you want, with all of the previous matches that have ever taken place in the Premier League. You can have them on our streaming service. What runs counter to that is companies such as the WWE, for example. Obviously, I do a Wrestle Me podcast. Vince McMahon's in a situation where his shareholders are sort of saying, look, you've put everything on one kind of network where everything that the WWE and all of these subsidiary companies have ever made is in one place, and it's one subscription fee, and you think you'd make more money than that, but with that way, but with the pay-per-views and stuff, they're actually losing out money. So they're actually, there's actually talk of them moving back to the pay-per-view kind of buy per show kind of system, because you don't make quite as much money if you have millions of broadcasters fighting over your content, because at the end of the day, people will pirate when they don't want to pay, you know, the 10 quid or 15 quid subscription fee for the Premier League every month, and it will be more than 15 quid, no doubt.
Well, the problem with the problem with piracy is a large part of the reason that it's been touted that the Premier League want to do this, and the other reason is to do with the price point, right? I think the Premier League. I mean, I'll tell you who's spoken very eloquently about this is your friend and mine, controversial character as he is, Simon Jordan, who obviously ex Crystal Palace chairman. He's been at the forefront of talking about this, and he's saying that his argument is basically that the price points are too high by the broadcasters, which basically means that the churn of subscribers is really, really high. Whereas if you can get some kind of model, because basically the Premier League is far more successful around the world than something like the WWE, that's where I think the analogy kind of falls down. Because if the Premier League can essentially set up a genuinely global streaming service at a certain level of well thought out price points that are a lot lower than what Sky Sports, BT Sport and whoever else offer, the churn will be a lot lower, and they can therefore hoover up almost quite literally up billions and billions, and it wouldn't even be a comparison.
But also the problem we've got in this country is that, I mean, you know, we love BT Sport, we love Sky Sports, because that's how we consume the bloody football. But Amazon has sort of shown that you don't have to have a box under your telly. You don't have to have this weird, obscure app that you have to put onto a particular, or watch through your browser. Like, it's so much easier to watch through Amazon, because they've just thought, well, we don't need an app to protect our IP. We've only got a few matches a season. As long as the Premier League can somehow, algorithmically kind of stop people from restreaming their stuff, which will be very, very difficult. Let's make that very clear. But if you make it as easy as possible and cheap as possible and allow it to be viewed in a browser rather than having a box in the Italy or a weird app that will only run on iPhone or Android, you know, it just makes it a hell of a lot easier, doesn't it?
Give them a rebate for crying out loud.
And they should use WWE as a model for how their app works. It's a fantastic piece of work. If you've never indulged, have a look. It's really, really well put together and really thoughtfully administered.
Has Vince got to you? What is going on here?
I think Vince might have got to you, yeah. I'm in wrestling mode.
Gentlemen, back to Premier League matters. Jose Mourinho believes there will be less crazy transfers when football resumes. And he said, I would like my club, and I like how he says my club there, because he's probably not sure which one it is, because he's been at a few, so he says my club to be safe. I would like my club to be what I know what we will be, sensible, balanced, and not going to spend rivers of money. And I thought, well, that's bollocks, isn't it?
Yeah. Jose Mourinho says, don't worry, there's going to be no more really expensive mad transfers anymore. And Spurs fans are expected not to notice any difference. Just carry on as you were. Yeah, exactly. It won't affect you. Don't worry about it.
This reeks of sarcasm. He loves an expensive transfer. He lives for it.
Yeah, of course.
It's the only way he can get hard these days, I would wager. Sorry, I don't know where that came from.
Were you looking at a reflection? in your room. Hey.
Staying in North London, Jimmy, you concerned David Luiz's contract is up next month and he's looking set to leave Arsenal. Might not be there for this Premier League jamboree that's going to start on the 17th of June.
Aren't they having to continue their contracts, though, to the end of this season? Or is it?
There is, I believe there's an option for that. It's a funny one. I think Luiz was reported as having signed a two-year deal, but apparently there's a break in it. But, it's not been a sort of complete success, the transfer. So maybe Arsenal were looking at other options. They did bring Farry in the window. So perhaps they're trying to cut their losses on that. He's probably on quite big money. So I don't know.
We do not know.
He's also William Saliba, by the way, who's on loan still at St Etienne, who's expected to move across at some point. Andy was talking about him yesterday, quite an interesting story around his loan arrangement and stuff. But he's 19. And Claude Puel was saying that he thinks he's top quality, absolute top quality.
Okay. Well, if Claude likes him, then I like him, because Claude's voice seduces me every time.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? You get kind of seduced into whatever Claude says. You think it's good news.
Mm. Yeah, but it is not boring football. I think it is, Claude, but I also think you're right.
Yeah, you sort of look like a cartoon mouse, and I want to hear more from you.
Let's move on to the Bundesliga. Of course, come the 17th of June, we won't have to put up with all this Bundesliga bollocks anymore, will we?
Yeah, I'll forget it even exists by then.
Yeah, exactly, all that nonsense. But until then, we did see some decent football. Dortmund lost 1-0 at home to Bayern Munich. Luke Moore, the men from München, take a big step towards another title. Oh, dear, yeah. Luke, you must be gutted, mate.
I found it very difficult to get over it. I've been terrible to be around because, obviously, as I said to you, as I repeatedly say, and I make no apology for saying it, when you cut me, I bleed black and yellow. Yeah. And so it's been very, very
wrestlers.
Difficult for me. Yeah, exactly. It's been very, very difficult for me.
Pete, this is not Wrestle Me. No. Reset yourself.
So
I'm doing a run-in.
It's not ideal. It's not ideal. But it's not ideal because Bayern Munich are going to win their eighth title in a row, and that's just a bit dull, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? It's absolutely tedious. It must be really annoying as a German football fan as well. Just, at least we don't have the same team winning it every year here. And that I think that would just really grind you down after a little while, wouldn't you? Especially as Bayern are so smug about it.
Yeah, but you would be though, wouldn't you? If you've won
seven
in a row.
Yeah, but I mean, they go out of the way to be very Thomas Müller about the whole thing.
Jim, they're German.
Love it.
Yeah, but Thomas, I mean...
They're born winners.
Yeah, they are, absolutely, and fair play to them. But still, like, it must be pretty dull if you support Leverkusen like I do.
Yeah.
The company's 11.
Oh, battered by Wolfsburg. No one wants that.
No, absolutely not. Well, before we move on from Dortmund, Joshua Kimmich scored a lovely chip from 25 yards. Thomas Müller, adding to that whole smug vibe, Jim, said that the Dortmund keeper, Roman Bürki, doesn't have very long arms. So when he's a couple of steps off his line, it's possible to chip him.
Imagine that.
Like a raptor.
He doesn't... Yeah, they call him the raptor. The raptor's in goal. Chip away. Chipper! So,
clever girl.
Shut up, Thomas.
Jim, can I just say, at no point did Robert Muldoon, played by Bob Peck, say clever girl in that way at all?
I think, Jim, did you say clever goal?
I said clever girl, but I was doing it in the voice of Thomas Müller.
I don't think I've ever heard Thomas Müller speak, so it confused me.
Right. I mean, I'm not sure I have, but I just have it in my head as this sort of like smug, almost like court jester that goes around pranking people.
You sounded a bit like Her Lip from League of Gentlemen.
There's maybe a little bit of that sort of dubious quality to it as well. I'd like to apologise to our friends, but not Thomas
Müller. Oh, now the Premier League's back. We don't need them. Fuck them. Just be rude to all the German listeners. We don't care.
Yeah, muggy little league, which is well run, and you don't get nonsense like we have to put up with. But VAR, where was it when you needed it, Luke Moore?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a couple of funny decisions.
I know. I feel like in the situation we're currently in, and it's all quite surreal, and we're still sort of feeling our way through back to reality if we can, in terms of the football world at least. I find the existence of VAR actually quite jarring, and I don't think I'm ready for it. And I don't think the games that we're watching with no fans played in this quite... I mean, I suppose the intensity's been quite good, but the circus around football has been quite tentative. it feels a bit like VAR is stomping all over it with its size 15, and it's quite unfair. Yeah. So I've found it quite hard to process the VAR decisions in a weird way.
VAR's not in it together with us. You know what I mean? It's a robot. It can't catch it. So it kind of feels unhelpful when it kind of sticks its boots in.
You can't put the genie back in the bottle, though.
There's a Big Brother-esque quality to it that's more pronounced in the empty stadiums.
Bar VAR. That's the campaign.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Pete, your team were the only side that got a point, at least this week, with Hertha drawing 2-2 with RB Leipzig. And it was very scrappy. Julian Nagelsmann, the Leipzig coach, wasn't happy with his team. He said they defended like a student team and was very unhappy with what he called the shitty schedule they had to play with because they only had a break of 4 days after their first match back. And I always enjoy being reminded that in Germany they call it an English week when you've got a midweek fixture, or certainly a bit of congestion in there.
Can I just say, if Julian Nagelsmann doesn't want his team to defend like students, then Julian Nagelsmann should think about actually the way he dresses, which ironically is exactly like a student. Because if you lie down with dogs, you get fleas, right? You need to understand that you're sending out the wrong message to your team. And there's a picture of him that's come out today, which I'll share on social media, where he is dressed like, literally dressed like a university student, and he looks so young as well that I think he's sending the wrong message to his team, and it's affecting them.
He wears boots.
A lot of footballers do.
He wears boots. A lot of managers wear boots.
He doesn't look weird, because you don't want to slip over.
No, you didn't let me finish because of the old bloody lag situation. Bloody lag.
And I'm not going to.
He wears boots as in like DMs.
I actually quite
like it. It's got a quite sort of punky look. I think it's all right. But then maybe that says more about me than about how a manager should dress.
You're quite punky, Jim.
Oh, yeah.
Punky, funky, really. Jim. I like how you clarified that. I mean, I'm not really punky.
Yeah, I'm not really.
Yeah, I think the listeners will have made their minds up, though, Jim. Well, speaking from of managers who like to behave oddly on the touchlines, Louis van Gaal's latest statement about his time at Manchester United has been released. I suspect that the reality of this, which is, we're not really interested in the reality of this, ladies and gentlemen, but we'll just say it as a disclaimer to get it out the way. I suspect that the reality is this was one interview that he did, a number of weeks ago, and they're just sort of staggering the quotes. But I think what we really want to believe, and is probably more likely, you know, when King Louis is concerned, is just that every now and then, whenever he's interviewed, he talks about, he defends his record and time at Manchester United. But this time round, he said that the club's transfer policy was a bit piss poor while he was there and that they didn't sign the players he wanted. He said that he had to make do with the seventh or eighth choices on his transfer list. I should point out, though, in two seasons that he spent at the club, he did spend a grand total of £274.4 million, including Angel Di Maria for £59.7 million and Anthony Martial for £36 million. So that begs the question, who the hell was at the top of the transfer list and how much would they have cost?
Martial's come good, though, hasn't he? Only took 5 years.
Exactly. You know the idea of you talking, Marcus, about Louis van Gaal giving one interview and it being dripped out. I prefer to think of it as like every week at a certain time with the assembled cameras, Louis van Gaal walks a lot into shot with a couple of pieces of paper, sits behind the desk and just starts opining on the situation he had at Manchester United years ago. And so people will pick up on it and that he's got nothing else to do. So he's just doing that every week.
It's just on his balcony. It's the neighbours listening.
Yeah. I maybe that's where he records it, but it feels to me like this is like sort of something you can sign up to. Like you get your weekly like
Zoom chat
slice
with,
of vitriol
Louis.
from Louis, yeah.
Yeah, his big red face on the screen and you're just like, oh, do I need to turn my contrast down? His face is so red, so red. Is he angry? Is he drunk? I don't know.
It just feels, it also feels like a weird kind of area for him to be complaining about. Because as you say, Marcus, like, he's obviously been backed. He was obviously given a lot of money. The players he signed, I mean, Di Maria was an absolute nightmare. But I mean, that may well be because United didn't do their best to help him settle. It might just be that it's one of those things that, you know, we've talked about him and his wife and the fact they didn't like living in England and all the rest of it. So that can happen. I don't think it should happen at that level with the amount of money involved, but it does happen certainly a lot more than just at Man United. Anthony Martial's been, you know, for me, from what I've seen, it's been decent enough. Of course, it is very hard to remember because it feels like it's about 6 years as we've watched a football game in England. So I just feel like it's a weird area for King Louis to get a little bit upset about.
with his long arms.
You would think we're so far down the list of gripes that he's got now. What can possibly be next?
Oh, I look forward to it.
Because I'm really confident that there will be a next. Just how long is this list of issues that Louis's got that he's had to spread it out over, what is it, 4 years now?
If he turns on the saxophone lady, then we know he's lost it completely. He was all about that at the time.
Well, that's what happens. Yeah. He walks out on his balcony with his paper, reads it to the neighbours, and then he walks off with a woman going, duh, 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 la, la, you know, and that's how he does it. And then you have to give her big applause.
You know that he's wearing a dressing gown on the balcony as well, and he's, it's... You know, it's not particularly well tied, shall we say.
He's wearing only a shirt and he's bottomless. That's what he's saying. Yeah, which I find...
Donald Duck in it.
Yeah, I think that's even weirder than being fully nude, to be perfectly honest with you.
In some ways, it looks more naked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're drawing attention, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you ever wear socks during coitus, it's not right.
It's like Ricky Gervais said about like male nudists. I don't know why they don't just cut a little hole around where their cock and bollocks are, because that's all they want to do.
You say, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure that's true, but then I mean, I don't know that much about nudism.
Did you see what before we move on? Did you see Wayne Rooney said that the manager he learned the most under was Louis van Gaal? I thought that's a lovely little dig at Ferguson.
Well,
it's a great dig. It's a great Roy Keane dig. Roy Keane did a great one in that mad show that seems completely mad now, where he sat down face to face with Patrick Vieira and they talked a bit about their career and their rivalry, and,
like Smith and Jones.
Basically, yeah, yeah. There's a lot more homoerotic than that, and. And Roy Keane was asked who the best manager he played under was, but it wasn't the fact that he said Brian Clough, which is funny, but it's how quickly he said it. Like the question wasn't even finished before he just went Brian Clough, like it was trying to make a point. There's no other reason for it than just to make a point. And then he also got really pissed off when he had it put to him that Alex Ferguson said when he was booked during the Champions League semi-final in 99, so he knew he'd be suspended for the final. Alex Ferguson said, under the circumstances, it was the best individual performance I've ever seen from one of my players. Roy, how do you feel about that? And Roy Keane said, I'm offended, to be honest.
I love it.
What else do they expect from me? I'm a professional footballer. It was my job. I'm offended to hear that. It's like, Roy, come on, mate. Come on, at least meet you halfway. It's amazing. The fire that burns within that man is an absolute sight to behold.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Right, ladies and gentlemen, let's go for a quick break.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/ramble.
Are you struggling to find something to watch during lockdown? You've drained Netflix, rewatched all your old favourites, and now you need something new? Well, we're here to help. Join us for Clash of the Titles, the podcast where two movies with something in common go head-to-head in a fight to the death.
Release the Kraken.
Well, not death. We just decide which one is better.
When they do a long shot of the crowd in the Ivory Tower, it's different to the close-up. And if you look closely, you can see E.T., Mickey Mouse, Chewbacca, Ewoks, and C-3PO.
So when Wolfgang Peterson went to Spielberg and went, yeah, could you maybe re-edit my movie? Steven Spielberg went, yeah. Do you know what I'm probably going to cut out? E-T, mate. I made that. Find your new favourite movie or revisit an old classic with me, Alex Zane, Vicky Crompton and Chris Tilley. New episodes out every Monday and Thursday.
Clash of the Titles is a Stakhanov production.
Welcome back to the previous show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Luke Moore, you have fire burning within you for our Patreon.
I do. A reminder that you can sign up and support us on Patreon, where you'll receive loads of extra behind-the-scenes content and bonus podcast episodes from as little as $5 a month. We've already released, get this, 16 pieces of extra content this month, including weekly episodes of The Mailbag and Ramble On, Marcus's Speller Time vlogs, and a bonus episode with Mark Pugach all about Euro 96. And if you're yet to sign up, then do listen carefully to this, because by becoming a patron of Football Ramble Daily this weekend, you could win a Sonos Move portable speaker. This durable battery-powered speaker is designed for indoor or outside listening on Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Just imagine listening to Football Ramble Daily on that beauty. Simply sign up at patreon.com/footballrambledaily by 5 a.m. British time on Monday the 1st of June. Everyone signed up before the deadline, including those of you who are already Patreon subscribers, will be eligible for the prize. Signing up to a higher tier also makes you more likely to win. So if you sign up to our Supporters Club tier, you'll be entered once into the competition. If you sign up to our Ramble On tier, you will be entered twice into the competition. And if you sign up for our highest tier, as well as becoming an official friend of the Ramble, your name will be entered three times into the competition. So head to patreon.com/footballrambledaily by 5 a.m. this Monday, the 1st of June, to enter. And we'll announce the winner on this coming Monday's episode of The Ramble. So good luck, and thank you very much for all your support.
Saucy. Beautiful. And now it's time for Emails with Peter Don.
Your email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now Pete is reading it out. Well done.
It is time for emails with me. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, as that jingle just dictated, it's show@footballrambledaily.com. Hello to Joseph Toms. Morning chaps, to get us through lockdown, a group of us have been doing a weekly football quiz on a Wednesday night in lieu of midweek football. These quizzes start with a burst of the Champions League theme, which is lovely, a lovely touch, and then have included a more and more obscure Kevin Keegan question as the weeks have gone on. Last night we had a question: who befriended David Hasselhoff whilst playing in Germany and went on to have a cameo in Baywatch asking Pamela Anderson, do you want to see my canary? The answer was, of course, King Kev, but this is news to us all. I've now spent a solid 2 hours trying to find a clip of what I imagine is incredible TV, but with no luck. Please, please, can someone with better internet skills than me help a man in need? I feel lockdown will be a complete waste without seeing this gem. Cheers for all the content, especially on the Patreon, keeping a lot of us sane. Yeah, exactly. Joseph, thank you for the heads up on this one. Joe, if anyone can find that on YouTube, we would love to see it.
Oh, yes.
And we got one from James Tortoise. Hello to James. It's basically talking about Capital City champs again in terms of dominance. Since their current leagues were set up, 100% of the titles in Estonia and Northern Ireland have gone to Tallinn and Belfast, respectively. Serbia are just behind, with 65 of 67 leagues being won by a Belgrade team. Got a feel for the little guys over there. That is miserable, isn't it? That's absolutely miserable. Yeah. Continuing with the Capital supremacy and looking at total wins, if you're not from Budapest, don't bother. 99 of the 117 winners have been from Hungary's capital. Vienna are next with 78 wins in Austria. Denmark's Copenhagen take the bronze with 75 of 106. I mean, this email is massive, so I'm cutting it down now. But it does end with, and one final thing. British police, actually, the Palestinian police force, won the inaugural Israeli League back in 1932. And that alone has made this whole thing worthwhile. Thank you very much to James for that one. Well-researched email.
On that, Pete, the sort of stimulation for that particular thread of conversation, I think, came from a chapter in Simon Cooper and Stefan Szymanski's book, Why England Lose, which is now called Soconomics, about the idea that in capital cities there's loads of different distractions, loads of things to do, and so that's why perhaps capital cities aren't as successful at European level as some of their other more industrial, smaller cities. The reason I'm saying that is just because it's the subject of our next book club episode, which comes out this Sunday. So if you're interested in that type of chat and all the other kind of interesting human stories around football, give that a listen on Sunday and go and pick up a copy of the book as well. I've got no vested interest in saying that. I'm not getting on commission or anything. It's just a great book and it's worth a read. So listen out for that on Sunday.
Yeah, we're not reading out an Amazon affiliate link in full. It's just a lot of digits.
Nah.
But thank you very much to everyone who got in touch this week. There's been a lot of emails, a lot of hefty ones as well that I wasn't able to read out. So thank you very much. short@footballrambledaily.com if you'd like to say hello.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for Time Tunnel.
Oh, we're in the Time Tunnel, Marcus. We're in the Time Tunnel. Oh. I was lucky enough to be able to choose this week's Time Tunnel. I went for one that was released right after Chris Hughton had been jettisoned from Newcastle United after giving them a promotion from the Championship, putting the club back together in his own image and getting them promoted. And Mike Ashley said, see you later, let's have a bit of Alan Pardew. Time Tunnel this week is a show called Mike Ashley Space Criminal.
His own image, Pete, because he had black and white hair.
That is true. I was very angry in this episode. Luke was very quiet in this episode, but it turns out he wasn't just letting everybody else speak. He was actually unwell. Is that true, Luke?
Yeah, so I listened back to this episode thinking, oh, I quite like this style of broadcasting for me. This is the only episode I think I've ever done of anything where I quite enjoy listening to myself back. Then I read the synopsis and realised I was ill. So that's probably why. So I'm looking to try and adjust my expectations.
Yeah, my favourite moment in it was when the idea of Pardew taking over was raised and you said, don't make me sick in my mouth, Pete.
Yeah.
And that was how many years was he in the job? Effectively, isn't he?
The contract's still going, isn't it?
Yeah, 10 years.
So this episode was December 2010. And I think, did Pardew come in on, was it like the 3rd of January the following month? I can't quite remember.
Given a bit of Carver time. Given us some much needed Carver time.
Do you mean the drink Carver over Christmas or do you mean John Carver?
A little bit of both. Yeah. Jokes work both ways, I reckon.
I really enjoyed Marcus threatening to take Franz Beckenbauer out of the Dean Windass Hall of Fame because of his behaviour around the entire World Cup.
Well, I had to take action.
Yeah. God, I forgot about that.
It was like textbook you guys in microcosm, because Pete then after that said that in 2022, don't worry about there not being alcohol available in Qatar because we'll all be taking space drugs by then anyway.
Chlorhexidine, or it's called. What's the truth?
Yeah. And we also discovered, I think we discovered Chuck Blazer for the first time.
We did. Pete spotted him at a FIFA ceremony.
Huge deal.
But we didn't know who he was. I was saying, oh, it's the American guy. I couldn't quite remember. But yeah, you saw him with his big beard there, which was interesting.
He was quite a sight. He looked like a touring member of ELO. Fantastic.
Yeah, Marcus, tell us your favourite quote about Chuck Blazer, because you always talk about this and it's funny. The mobility scooter one.
He had a fleet. I should know this off by heart. He had a fleet of mobility scooters, so he could move from feast to feast. was the quote, something like that. He really embraced. I mean, he's dead now, of course, but he really embraced the FIFA delicate lifestyle in a way that I don't think any others did, quite frankly.
And he really took it to heart. Yeah.
Like an old king.
He definitely a bit of the Henry VIII about him, 100%.
Oh, massively, yeah. Massively.
Yeah. I mean, Henry VIII would have had a mobility scooter if he could have.
Yeah. He was on the take so much Chuck Fraser. And yes, I can say that because he's no longer with us. He was on the tape so much that he had two apartments on each side of a corridor in some of the best real estate places in Manhattan. And one of the apartments was just being used for his cats.
Yeah, that was the Trump Tower.
Oh, there you go. Goodness. Okay, right, yeah.
Don't libel the cats. They might still be alive.
Yeah, they might be. But that was when the FBI, they collared him and he tried to get away on his little scooter. And it's kind of like that. I think they're going to be equipped to catch you. But this episode was when Russia and Qatar were announced as hosts of the 2018 and 2022 World Cups, of course.
It's funny because like you sort of go back and like Marcus will sort of say, right, who's on time till this week? It'll be me, Luke or Jim, and we'll sort of like scatter and try and find a show. I usually just pick them at random, but there's always something interesting and kind of prescient going on. There's something that will have echoes in history. These decisions that get made, VAR getting brought in, things like that. It's like, whoa.
It's
like,
mad.
Things are always happening.
Well, Franz Beckenbauer spoke straight away after Qatar were given the World Cup saying, well, it could be moved to winter. You think, well, okay. And Luke immediately said on the podcast, well, that's inevitable. That will happen. And of course, that was right. But this I find quite, well, I'll let you decide what you think, ladies and gentlemen. Boris Johnson was the mayor of London at the time. And because the World Cup was given to Russia rather than England, he withdrew his offer to FIFA delegates or FIFA executives of a free stay in one of London's swanky hotels during the 2012 Olympics. And as one of you was saying, it might have been you, Luke, that if you're going to play that game, don't get upset if someone else uses better bribes and wins it. And then you go, well, you can't have my bribes anymore. You
know, I'm going to take my mask off. I'm actually a massive little Englander. Watch this space.
Yeah.
He did try and sell him one of his water cannons. Remember when when he was mayor and he bought all his water cannons for the riots? And then they realised they were illegal.
Another really big, but kind of interesting incident from this show. Did you say it was at the beginning of December 2010, Pete? Is that right?
I think it was the 8th of December.
I believe so, yeah. 8th,
okay. It's called Mike Ashley, Space Criminal, yeah? That one.
Yeah.
And we covered Jose Mourinho, I think, who had just taken the job at Real Madrid, right?
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I can say this because he got busted for it. That Xavi Alonso and I think it was Sergio Ramos.
Yeah, well,
it was alleged that it was engineered that they were so that they got picked up yellow cards and they were booked, so they missed the final group game of the Champions League rather than the first knockout stage. Mm-hmm. And Mourinho
got
absolutely
sent off.
Mad.
I think they got sent off.
He did. Yeah, and he said. He got sent off for violating some technical area protocol or something. And he went to town. It was vintage Mourinho. He said, this is not a suspension. This is a medal. And I wear it with pride because when other managers do this, it's fine. But when I do it, this is what happens. It's a medal for me. It was vintage Mourinho when he went properly sort of quite sinister when he started poking people's eyes and doing all that weird stuff at Real Madrid. That was a real nice kind of trip down a quite horrific memory lane.
Yeah. I quite like the idea of a suspension medal. It's such a confusing message.
They should have to wear it.
Like a sort of dunce hat.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for the Masked Winger.
Who's under there, under the mask? Let's see if we can figure it out. Let's see if we can figure it out. It's the Masked Winger.
It is time for the Masked Winger. It's a lot of me in this in the back end of the show. Apologies, everyone. This message comes from Frederick Page. Thank you, Frederick Page, for this particular nomination. Are you guys ready for a little bit of Masked Winger?
I think I'm on a hat-trick, aren't I? Am I on a hat-trick?
Oh, are you on a hat-trick?
You might well
I think
be,
I'm on De Guzman, Gira, and this is a hat-trick, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. I mean, last week's was very much like absolute prime Luke Moore performance in this. So I think lockdown's been very
I've come into my own, I think, away from all the pressure.
And that new Silent Sea keyboard you bought is lovely, isn't it? right, first clue. Born on the 27th of August, 1985 in Yugoslavia. I have
Jim.
Made, yes?
Nico Crenshaw.
It's not Nico Crenshaw. Ooh. I have made 377 apps, scoring 140 goals and counting. 60 of those goals were scored for teams on the British Isles. Ooh.
Could you repeat that one, please?
I have made 377 apps, appearances, scoring 140 goals and counting. 60 of those goals were scored for teams on the British Isles.
Luke.
Okay.
Is it Eduardo? Luke.
It's not Eduardo. It's not Eduardo.
He'd have been born in Brazil.
In 2007, I was first called to my international team, which is a wonderful, wonderful way to say it. However, I did not make my full debut until 2009. I've scored 6 goals and represented my country at Euro 2012 and World 2014. Again, a lovely way to say the World Cup.
Marcus, Jerdan Shaqiri.
It's not Jerdan Shaqiri.
Oh,
right. He's too young, I think. He's too young, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mishit across the deflected off Marcelo, resulting in the first goal of the 2014 World Cup. We went on to lose 3-1. That's a big clue.
That's a big clue.
That's a big one, that. It's not that long ago either.
Marcus, do us all a favour. What was the first game of World Cup 2014?
It was, I think, you're on a hat-trick, Luke, and as you know, I love an assist. it was Brazil versus Croatia.
It doesn't really help, does it?
No.
Well, it does. You now know it's
not. Yeah, you're right, it does.
Well, answer it then.
Well, we're building towards that, Jim.
Jim doesn't want me to get a hat trick. That's what it
no,
is.
No, I don't mind.
What?
Yeah.
In 2010, I completed a £4 million move to a Scottish outfit, presumably not a kilt.
Luke.
You got it.
It's got to be... I can't remember his fucking first name.
I'm struggling with his first name as well.
Is it Nikola Jelovic?
There it
is. It's Nikika or Nikisa Jelovic. Congratulations, Luke. I'm giving you that one because I wasn't sure whether it's Nikika or Nikisa. I think it's Nikisa.
He went to Rangers for £4 million, I remember.
That's right. Yeah. Hull City as well.
He did indeed. Yeah. He left for a team that played their football 2017 miles south of Ibrox. Wow. Pushed out of the team by an emerging Romelu Lukaku in 2013-14, who did not score a goal until January. The big bald fraud. Thank you very much. I returned to my club early following the 2014 World Cup due to the sale of my strike partner Shane Long and my team's one and only unsuccessful voyage into Europe's early qualifying rounds. The team selection of Stephen Bruce being called indecently weakened. Very enjoyable. He's now playing out in China. In China.
Of course
he is. Guizhou Zhicheng. So thank you very much to Fred Page for that one.
Oh, I bet he's hoovering up some cash.
Oh, yeah.
He went through a phase of being actually pretty good for Everton, didn't he, Jelovic?
Yeah,
he's a good player.
Mm. Yeah.
I enjoyed his movement.
Did he get awarded the goal, Marcus, in that World Cup game, or was it given as an own goal?
Oh, I can't remember. If only I had some sort of device that could help me with this at this moment in time.
Not allowed. We're still in the confines of the masked winger.
Okay.
And now
Sorry.
The masked winger has ended. You can do all the Googling you like, Marcus.
Okay. Yeah, it was a Marcelo own goal.
Huh. Okay. Interesting. Well.
Nice one, Morsey. Very well played, sir. You should be bloody proud of yourself.
Yeah, when we get back in the studio, it'll be business as usual, I'm sure.
There will be questions asked.
My head is held high. My head. I would never. I would. What's worse, cheating the masked winger or cheating friends?
Well, speaking of cheating friends, a reminder that we're watching Diamantino for Pete's Film Club on Monday. Mm. So do watch that.
Recommended
that Portuguese film. Which
I mean, you've literally recommended it.
Yeah, well, yes, indeed.
I've recommended that you guys play along, but I mean, other people may have lost confidence in me after goal three, so that's what I'm saying. Yeah. We may be back on form with a good film.
We may well be. Tomorrow on Greatest Games, Jonathan Wilson and I have Adam Rutherford, the host of Inside Science on BBC Radio 4, talking about his beloved Ipswich Town beating Barnsley 4-2 in a very entertaining playoff final, which was the last competitive club fixture at the old Wembley Stadium 20 years and one day ago to the day by the
Lovely
time it comes
stuff.
Out tomorrow. Yeah, George Burley was in charge of the Ipswich Town team that boasted Marcus Stewart, Tony Mowbray and Matt Holland, among others. So get your ears around that lot. Until then, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Have a marvellous weekend and say goodbye, Jim Campbell.
Goodbye, Jim Campbell.
Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye, everyone.
Say goodbye, PED.
Oh, I've just got a notification on the Joe and the Juice app.
And it's goodbye from me.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And on my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.